Okay, Acts chapter 4, if you'd turn, please. Preaching this morning on the thought, a little encouragement goes a long way. And I know everybody agrees with that already. But I want us to look at a person in the Bible who epitomizes encouragement. We could call this guy Mr. Encouragement. This particular fellow that we're going to be looking at. Acts chapter 4 and verse number 36. And Joseph, who by the apostles was named Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus. Let's have prayer. Our Father, this morning, as we come to the throne of grace, we do so, Lord, grateful for the privilege of knowing the grace of God. Most of us today could give testimony of the fact that it was the grace of God that introduced us into the family of God and becoming a child of God because of grace. This morning, Lord, I do pray for the pressing burdens and needs upon people's hearts. I do pray for Brother H.B. with the loss of his brother. I pray for Sister Becky with the loss of her brother this week as well. You would comfort those dear families. I pray this morning for Brother Tim as he recovers. I pray this morning for Sister Misty and for Brother Holmer and for the many others that we continue to pray for. And Father in heaven, I pray for the poor people of the Ukraine that are being subjected to genocide under this ruthless world dictator who cares more about his power than he does his people. Father, I pray that you would put him in place. I pray, Lord, that you would give victory there in the Ukraine to those dear people. And I pray that our country will do the right thing in the matter of supporting them. Dear Lord, now bless us at this hour and speak to hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The person that we're introduced to in this verse of Scripture is a man by the name of Barnabas. Barnabas means the son of consolation. The definition of his name says it all. The son of consolation. He demonstrated how his name defined. He lived like his name defined. He could have been called Mr. Encourager, this man by the name of Barnabas. He demonstrated forbearance and love. He was a man that was very kind, understanding. And the word forbearance comes into mind and love. He was the opposite of many from time to time that have a tendency to bow up and at the slightest thing and become defensive. Some people will do that, but not Barnabas. Now, Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. He said that love is not easily provoked. Not easily provoked. Barnabas had real love. He was not easily provoked. He had forbearance. The verse in 1 Corinthians says this, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinketh no evil. A person with real love can be around someone and give them the benefit of the doubt without conjuring up some kind of thoughts like, I don't trust that person, or looking at the bad side of things. But a person with real love looks on the positive side of things. It's been said that for every word of encouragement, we probably hear 10 words of discouragement. And it shouldn't be that way. Some people have a gift, all right. We acknowledge that. But it's the wrong gift. It's called the ability to discourage. Some people actually seem to have that ability. Have you ever known anybody that when you're around them very long, it's not going to be too long till they get on some discouraging subject? Now, we can all stand here this morning and talk about the discouragements that are going on, like the case in the Ukraine and like our country and like so many other things, but my goodness, God's people still are not controlled by the discouragements in this world. We're blessed and encouraged by the grace of God and what we have in Jesus Christ. Some never offer a word of encouragement. It's usually a word of criticism. And some people do like to criticize. It's been said this way. Write your criticism in the dust and your compliments in marble. Then someone put it like this. They said, once I did bad, and that I heard ever. Twice I did good, but that I heard never. And there's a tendency sometimes to cite people when they do wrong, but to never compliment them when they do right. Now we can remember the old familiar folk song, A Home on the Range. Y'all remember that? That'd make a nice choir song. It says this, oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam, where the deer and the antelope play, where seldom is heard a discouraging word, and the skies are not cloudy all day. Or maybe we could put it like this, oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam, and I'll show you a house that's dirty all day. Did you hear about the two buffalo? They were out grazing up on the plain. Now, by the way, this is a story. This is an illustration. Now, you know the buffalo won't talk, so everybody gets that. But the story goes, the two buffalo were out grazing in the plain, and a cowboy rode up on his horse. He looked at those two buffalo, and he said this. He said, you're the ugliest critters that I've ever looked at. He said, you stink to high heaven. You have beady eyes. You have humps on your back that are grotesque. And he says, if I had a powerful enough buffalo gun, I'd shoot both of you. Then he turned his horse and rode off. And one buffalo looked at the other and he said this. He said, I believe we've just heard a discouraging word. I heard of a man one time that went onto a car lot. He walked up to the salesman and sold him a car. He said, I wonder now if you'd mind telling me. He said, I wonder if you'd mind telling me how great my car is now. He said, I'm discouraged. Now, we look here at this passage of Scripture. Number one, let me put it like this. Barnabas was a blessing to be around. I want us to notice that. Verse 36. He was a blessing to be around. Says, and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite of the country of Cyprus. He was a blessing to be around. The early church nicknamed him Barnabas because it literally means son of consolation. The Greek word for Barnabas, or encouragement rather, and look at it like this, he's called the son of consolation. The Greek word for encouragement is the word paraclete. Paraclete. And that word is used of the Holy Spirit and literally means one called alongside of. One called alongside of. So Barnabas had a characteristic that had to do with someone that could come up to someone else and lift them up and comfort them and encourage them. His name defines that way. He was a generous person. Did you note that now? Look at verse number 37. He was a generous person. The Bible says, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. He sold land. He brought that money. He laid it at the apostles' feet. He as much as said, do with it what you need to do. It may help us to understand something. The first church contained many poor people. The church had a lot of people that didn't have anything, and when people came to Christ, they'd lose their jobs anyway. You see, if you can understand that at that time in church history, the people were poor to start with, and then when people turn their lives over to Jesus Christ, they're going to be catching so much flack they could lose their job. And here's a guy by the name of Barnabas that has such a heart for the cause of Christ. He sold his land. He brings the money and gives it to the apostles and said, here, you help those poor people out that need encouragement. He took that valuable piece of property. He sold it. He gave it to the apostles to help meet the need of the people. You know, Mark Twain one time said, I can live 2 months on one good compliment. One good compliment. An encourager, what could we say about that guy? An encourager is a selfless person. An encourager always is trying to think of how he can bless someone else, be a help somebody else, and strengthen someone else. A person that has a gift of helps. The Bible talks about that. That's an encourager. Someone that can lift up somebody. Someone that can strengthen somebody. And I'll tell you, it takes God's grace to do that. It's so easy for us to get together and immediately we start fanning out our own problems. We're around one other, but it takes grace just to reach down deep, to table our issues and look that person solidly in the eye and say to them, how are you doing today? I'm praying for you. I love you. I will encourage you. That goes a long ways. And don't we need that today in our church? Don't we need that today in our lives? By the way, you see this same trait in Barnabas when he comes to Antioch. In Acts chapter 11, verse number 23, who when he came had seen the grace of God. That's Barnabas. He had seen the grace of God and was glad. And exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Now who said you can't see the grace of God? He saw the grace of God at work in people's lives. He saw it in their love, their generosity, their kindness, their meekness, their humility. He saw that. And then in Acts 14 verse 22... it says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Barnabas got on board with lifting people up when and however he could. Now, Antioch, let me say something about Antioch. Barnabas came to Antioch. He was a blessing when he came there. What can we say about Antioch? Antioch was a mighty city. It was a wealthy city. It was a magnificent city. And by the way, it was the third greatest city in the world after Rome and Alexandria at that time. So it was not a slouchy city. Antioch was a cultured city, but it was a wicked city. It was a city filled with idolatry, with heathenism. But yet the Holy Spirit of God was working in Antioch and many Gentiles were being saved. And God was still working in spite of that. And then, again I'm talking about Barnabas. Acts 11, 24, and much people were added unto the Lord. That's a byproduct. That's the fruit. I mean, people are added to the Lord. That's the very reason why that churches, gospel preaching churches, must maintain that attitude of love, of kindness, of unity, because that's what God uses, alongside of the gospel, of course, to reach people. Then number two, notice this, an encourager has discernment and reaches out to others. has discernment and reaches out to others. Look with me, Acts 9, verses 26 and 27. Acts 9, verses 26 and 27. Notice this. Barnabas reaches out. Verses 26 and 27, Acts 9. It says here, when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Barnabas took Saul and encouraged him. The people were afraid of Saul, but Barnabas embraced him and took him in. You know, here's what you'll notice. An encourager will always champion the underdog. They'll always champion the underdog. An encourager is a type of a person that'll walk in your house when the whole world has just walked out. An encourager is a person that'll come up to you in a time of great need and hurt and pain in your life. And when other people might be shirking that individual, an encourager will walk up to that person and still embrace them in love and be there for them in their time of need. Now, what about Saul? You got to keep something in mind here about Saul. By the way, there's more to be said about this man than just the fact he later became an apostle. Have you ever thought about what he was before he got saved? I'm going to tell you what, he was bad news. When Saul came to town, it was bad news. I mean, he had it out for Christians. In fact, when God saved him, he had threatening letters. And Christians were on his hit list. And he was raising havoc in the church, persecuting Christians. And that's the guy that walks in the presence of Barnabas. Or Barnabas goes into his presence, and Barnabas said just as much as looked at him and said, "Let's forget about your past. Let's talk about what God's done. Let's forget about what you were in sin. Let's look at you in terms of what you are in grace." And the disciples were scared to death of Saul. Barnabas took him in. Barnabas didn't say, "Just look at you. You were a murderer. You were a blasphemer. You destroyed the church. You put people in prison." Barnabas didn't hold that up over him. Now that's an encourager. Some people always have to hold over someone else what they know about that person's past. But not an encourager. He didn't look at the past. He looked at the future. He didn't look at what Paul had done. He looked at what Paul could do. I heard one time about this little boy that had been in church a long time, and he goes up to the preacher and he says, "Preacher," he said, "when I grow up," he said, "I want to get a job. I want to become a doctor. I want to make a lot of money. And then after I do that," he says, "I want to come back to you and I want to give you a lot of money." And the pastor said, "Son, that's so thoughtful of you. But," he said, "why do you want to give me money?" He looked at the pastor, he said, "Because Daddy said you're the poorest preacher he's ever known." Some people, they mean well in what they say. That's like, and sometimes husbands and wives, they can become interesting in how they deal with each other too. This one particular guy, he was really down and out. He was really discouraged. He goes up to his wife one day. He says, "Honey," he said, "I feel old, flat, flabby, wrinkled, useless, and stupid." She smiled and looked at him. She says, "Don't be silly, honey. You're not too old." You know, Barnabas, think about this. Do you know there's a man by the name of Mark in the gospel? Who wrote a book, didn't he? But do you know Mark and Paul had fallen out? In fact, Acts 15, verse 39 says, and contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. At that point in time, Paul shirked Mark, but Barnabas took him in. Paul and Mark had a disagreement, but Barnabas said, I'll take him. I'll work with him. And you see, Paul and Mark had gone on the missionary journey. The background of all that. And for some reason, Mark had got discouraged and quit and going back home. Because of that, Paul basically decided he'd wash his hands of Mark. By the way, I got an interesting thought that came up this past week. How many of y'all saw, I didn't, I wouldn't watch it. How many of you saw the State of the Union? I'm going to say I didn't watch it myself. But anyway, I got a good point. I want to suggest. You know, in a church service, when the preacher says something, it's customary for people to say amen. Or maybe sometimes if they're really blessed, say amen, hallelujah. Sometimes it happens, doesn't it? I got a good one. Anymore, you don't have to say amen. You don't have to shout. You can just go like this. So when I see you go like that, I'll know you're saying amen. One of these days, y'all gonna run me off, aren't you? I thought about that when I thought about how Paul basically washed his hands. Well, now, Barnabas wasn't like that because he didn't focus on Mark's problems. He focused on Mark's potential. Now, that's a big difference. And that's what encouragers will do. Encouragers see the potential, while discouragers see people's problems. Barnabas believed in Mark so much that he parted company with Paul in order to take Mark with him. Isn't that amazing? Barnabas would not quit on Paul either, while others had quit on Paul. Now, isn't that something? Barnabas didn't quit on Paul, and Barnabas didn't quit on Mark. He just basically didn't quit on anybody. He was an encourager. And so, I suppose you could put it like this. He didn't play the guilt by association game. You ever know people do that? If so-and-so is your friend, they're my friend. But if so-and-so is not your friend, then they're not my friend. There's only one problem with that. We need to evaluate the standards for friendship more on a emotional whim that decides that someone else can decide who our friends are. That's not the way we do it. We love people in the Lord. We still are kind to people. We seek to give people the benefit of the doubt. That's Bible. We don't write people off. If that would have been the case and God would have used that approach, we wouldn't be here today. We would have a blank building. There wouldn't be a soul in here. If God wrote us off because of what we'd done. But I'm looking at smiling, beaming faces today of people that are here because the Lord has saved you. And you know how good God is. And that's what I'm saying. Now, Barnabas, he was so unique in that way. You know, John Mark, you know what John Mark needed? I'll tell you what he needed. He needed what we all need. He needed a word of encouragement. He just needed somebody to believe in him. He needed somebody to go to him and say, John, I know people might be talking about you. And I know that you've been catching a lot of flack because of that incident in the past to where you got discouraged and you quit the ministry for a while. But Mark, I'm just going to believe God is going to help you through that. And let me just help you. Let me just walk with you. Let me just kind of hold your hand a little bit. And let me help you get through that difficult time. When we go through tough times in life, we need other people to come to us and take our hands and say, let me walk with you. Let me help you. I'm not here to hurt you. I'm here to help you. That's an encourager. And that's what he did. Just think about what would have happened if Barnabas had not encouraged Saul of Tarsus. If he had walked away from Saul like everybody else had. He wrote a gospel that, you know, for the man that Saul had issues with. And by the way, Saul got it all settled. So please understand that. And I'm going to prove that in a moment anyway. But for the man that Saul could look at that time in the book of Acts history, and contention would cause a separation in fellowship, that same man would have the power of God upon him. And he'd sit down one day and write under inspiration and pen the precious gospel of Mark that you and I love and read. He wrote the gospel of Mark. What if Barnabas had quit on Mark like Paul did? Maybe we would never have had the gospel of Mark. If Barnabas had given up on Mark, he might never have become the man that Paul would one day request that he be by his side. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11, here's what Paul said. Take Mark, bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Isn't that wonderful? He is profitable for me and the ministry. He didn't seem to be too profitable back then, but boy, he is now. I'm so thrilled to be in the gospel ministry and to see how God's word and God's power changes people around. It is such a thrilling thing to see how God's grace can affect people's temperament positively. It's so wonderful to see that God does it all the time. He takes cruel and mean, unkind people, and he turns them into people that give you the shirt off their backs. That's God for you. That's God for you. I'm going to tell you, there's not a person living on the face of this earth but what isn't a candidate for the grace of God. Trust Christ as their Savior. There's not a person on the face of earth, regardless of their liabilities, what God can't make them an asset for the glory of God. I'll give you this story and I'm done. There was a 65-year-old man that one time just about committed suicide. Something really happened in his life. But let me tell you a little bit of his background. When this guy was a boy, his dad died. He was just a little boy, 5 years old. This little boy dropped out of school after the sixth grade. By the time he was 17 years of age, by that time, he was losing job after job. He couldn't succeed in nothing. He kept being hired and kept quitting. He married at age 18. He separated from his wife after 2 years into the marriage. He became a railroad conductor and got fired. He joined the army and that didn't work out. He became an insurance salesman and failed at that. Finally, he became a dishwasher and a cook in a small restaurant. He finally persuaded his wife to come back to him. And they had their marriage reinstated. She came back to him. Then he started working continually in that restaurant, started cooking, washing dishes. He did keep that job. But at 65 years of age, he was overwhelmed with discouragement to the point he decided to commit suicide. His wife knew about it, heard about it, saw it was coming, and went to him and told him this. She said, "Let me tell you one thing you can really do good." She said, "I believe you can do this even better than anybody else." He said, "Really?" He said, "What's that?" She said, "You can cook." He said, "Do you really think so?" She said, "You're fabulous at cooking." He went to a local bank. He borrowed $87. He went to a supermarket. You know now where I'm going. He bought some chicken. He fried it with a special recipe that he developed on his own. He put it in boxes. He began going door by door, and this was in Corbin, Kentucky. And you know the rest of the story. Now, there's two things I can say about that story. I have been to Corbin, Kentucky. Carol and I have actually eaten Kentucky Fried Chicken in that same restaurant. But also, too, I used to cook Kentucky Fried Chicken as a job when I was a teenager in Lynchburg, Virginia. That used to be one of my jobs. And I can tell you right now, no one's going to get that recipe from me. But the whole gist of that is to tell you this. That's how important and how influential an encourager can be to someone else. If you're here this morning and you need encouragement, I encourage you to come to this altar and pray and ask God to help you this morning. Then I encourage encouragers of this church to come and maybe say to the Lord before this altar, "Oh God, help me. That I'll be more of an encourager. That I'll spend less time focused upon myself and more time focusing on how I can help someone else relieve their burdens and how life can be better for them." If you're here this morning and not saved, you need the comforter of the Holy Spirit who comes into a person's heart and life when you're saved. And he's the divine comforter. And not only will God save you from hell if you get saved, but the divine comforter will come within you and comfort you along the way. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, this morning, I come to you in prayer, and I pray for this service. I pray for this invitation. I pray, dear God, that you will have your will and way in the hearts of people today. Some in this church service need comfort. And some of your people in this church service need to be working more at being comforters. And Lord, we all need the comfort of the Holy Spirit. If there's someone today in this church service that's not a Christian, I pray that they'd come today and get saved and have the divine Holy Spirit to indwell them and give them comfort. Not only is it salvation from hell, but Father, it's a salvation that enjoys comfort that God gives. But Lord, this morning, there could be some of your people that's been a little bit feeble in this area of comforting others. And maybe you've touched their heart today about their need to step up to the plate and get more into the realm of encouragement. A little comfort, a little encouragement goes a long way. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning. How many of you today, as you've listened to God's word and the Holy Spirit has spoken, how many of you would say, "Preacher, the Spirit of God nudged my heart this morning about this matter of comfort, encouraging. He spoke to my heart. And Pastor, would you pray for me today? Would you remember to pray for me that I'll take what God wants me to do and apply it and step more into the realm of an encouragement to others. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up? Yes, I see hands. Yes, God bless. Several hands, yes. God bless each of you. Anyone else? Preacher, include me also in on that prayer. God spoke to my heart about being an encomforter, more of a comforter and an encouragement. Would you pray for me? Yes. Anyone else? Yes, God bless you. Is there someone today who'd say, Preacher, I need to be comforted. God knows what I'm going through. I need the comfort of the Holy Spirit to help me. Would you pray for me? Could I see your hand? Anyone in this service? If you're here this morning and are not settled about your salvation, you need Christ this morning. You need to come to Him. Who would say, Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Anybody in the service? Anyone? My Father, I come to you in prayer this morning. I pray for those that are here and those that are out there. I pray for those today that are out there that have never been saved, never had the divine comforter to indwell them, going through terrible things, but the worst thing is sin and a terrible future without God. I pray that right now people would drop on their knees out there that's watching, listening, and call on God and ask Him to save them. And now, Father, for this church service, I pray for those whose hands were raised. Maybe many would just like to come this morning and just talk to the Lord at this altar about what you've shown them today in this service and about what they need from the Lord and about what they need to do by God's help for others. So bless the invitation. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen.